Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I must admit we have had an elongated monologue getting to the very point that I want us to focus on. Albeit, I felt that it was necessary and incumbent that we be updated on what has taken place in the chaos and the circus in D.C. with the U.S. House of Representatives and the fake mock impeachment of President Donald J. Trump. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that it is far deeper than that, the problem that we find there. The deeper problem lies within the moral ethical declension that's found in America today. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Millennials are leaving religion and not coming back. This article says millennials have earned a reputation for reshaping industries and institutions, shaking up the workplace, transforming dating culture, and rethinking parenthood. They've also had a dramatic impact on American religious life. 4 in 10 millennials now say they're religiously unaffiliated, according to the Pew Research Center. In fact, millennials, those between the ages of 18 and 35 years of age, are now almost as likely to say that they have no religion as they are to identify as Christians. For a long time, though, it wasn't clear whether these youthful defections from religion would be temporary or permanent. It seems possible that as millennials grew older, at least some of them would return to more traditional religious life. But there's mounting evidence that today's younger generations may never be entering religion at all, but remain believe for good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a frightening thought to me. As we understand what's taking place in America today, we're looking at the fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Every denomination, every mainline denomination, including Southern Baptist, hear me, including Southern Baptist with the touted figure of mega millions, I believe it's some 16 million supposed to be in Southern Baptist Convention, but with the mega millions, ladies and gentlemen, they have taken the stand now with the new head of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. J.D. Greer, that he says we need to embrace the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda. He says that their sin is no greater than gluttony. And now the one that is over the pastor's conference, also a one that wants to embrace the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle and say there's nothing wrong with that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a major declension, and as we look at what's taking place, let me just explain it very clearly and concisely, if I can, for just a brief moment. The younger generation, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, for many, many, many years, was not necessarily the backbone of the local churches. Those folks of 55 and older have historically been the backbone for those that are in attendance, those that are supporting the ministry work in any denominational church by way of what I call time, talent, treasure, and testimony. But unless we have fresh new generations growing as the older generation pass on to be with the Lord, we're leaving a vacuous void devastation in the condition of our churches today. And we're seeing that. That is majorly evident in Europe. And we're seeing that more and more in American churches and American Christianity today. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's because our churches are no longer teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it's because our churches are faltering and failing to stand up, speak up, and say, who is Jesus Christ, and take a stand on the first coming and looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc, thank you for the subject today. I feel like I've been on my deathbed for about 3 weeks. So,
been praying for you, brother.
I appreciate it. It's going to be difficult to say what I want to say, but this, I believe, is one of the most important things that I have to say, so just bear with me. I've been given 3 weeks to be just quiet, listen, and think, and I've given a lot of thought to what you're talking about right now, and I think the speech that I heard by Nancy Pelosi this morning has kind of put me over the top, so let me run with this. I'm basing what I say on probably Sir Alexander Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, and a book that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, written in 1945, called, a man, George Orwell, but the book specifically is Animal Farm. Now, here's where I want to go with that. God has worked in this world in a binary fashion. I don't want to argue whether that's true or not. That's the assumption that I'm making as I go forward with what I'm about to say. There's good and evil. And we see that my opinion, that America today, which is the greatest Gentile nation ever to be on the face of the earth, is really mirroring the history of Israel. Israel was certainly a binary nation. Here's where I'm going with that. Israel evolved through the luminary king Solomon. Solomon was humble in the beginning and said, when offered anything, give me wisdom, Lord. And yet we saw, because of his wisdom producing wealth and all the other things that he, when he created probably the greatest nation ever to be on the face of the earth, that was Israel under Solomon, what happened? Because of wealth and power, the nation split, didn't it?
Yes.
And the nation split into two kingdoms. It split into the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes that are now lost, and the remnant tribe, I guess, of Judah that had its problems and certainly was evil, but it was the ordained remnant of Judaism that went forward. Fast forward to America. America was founded for God's purposes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I believe that America represents that Greek portion of God's prophetic history that came to fruition fully in America. America is the nation because of the dispensational theology developed or resurrected in the 19th century, has preached the gospel to the ends of the earth. America, unlike any other nation on the face of the earth, is responsible for the progress of humanity in a spiritual sense. But also, because America became wealthy and powerful in that 19th century, we created a binary America, just like we had a binary Israel, holy Israel and corrupted Israel. We have holy America and corrupted America. And who represented corrupted Israel? None other than Ahab and Jezebel. And this is where I want to go this morning. As I watched Nancy Pelosi speak this morning, I went back over, 10 years now, 15 years now, when I began writing my book, when I saw Nancy Pelosi standing behind George Bush at his very first State of America conference. I saw this evil presence standing there, and it galvanized a particular chapter of the book that I eventually wrote. Nancy Pelosi is... Jezebel was an adumbration of Nancy Pelosi. I believe she's that evil that she transcends the evil of Jezebel herself. And I say that to make this prediction. As happened to Jezebel and Israel, which disappeared, so was going to happen to corrupted America under Nancy Pelosi. We will see the dogs lick the blood of that woman off the streets when the hell breaks loose in this country that is coming when God finally lifts his protective hand. He did give us Donald Trump. He has used holy America, remnant America, to preserve the world and this nation to this point. But we are now at a cataclysmic point in our history when good and evil is in a tremendous battle. And yes, God has ordained what would happen, and it is fully understandable for the dispensational message that you speak. But we better understand the magnitude of evil. In a sense, it is the abomination that makes desolation. I'm not saying that's who she is, but she's an adumbration of that. Nancy Pelosi standing without any fear of a powerful and righteous president, changing the law, lying, which is the mark of Satan, and using three corrupted men of corrupted Israel. I speak of Schumer, I speak of Schiff, and I speak of Jerry Nadler, standing there with, I call it the Whore of Babylon, just anecdotally. There is no greater picture than the corrupt side of America than what the Democrats are. If any person thinks they can be a believer and confess Christ and hold the label of Democrat, they are sadly mistaken. It is wrong. We saw Jezebel this morning on TV, as we've seen her appear in the presence, and I believe that Jezebel herself is an adumbration of Nancy Pelosi in these latter days. Evil is here. It's in Hollywood. It's in our legal system. It's particularly in our education system. And Christians, and particularly Christian men, had better stand up and push back. Now, here's the last thing that I'm going to say. Nancy Pelosi, I believe, is the embodiment of evil. She's the symbol of evil in our country for a number of reasons. And it goes back to the two Babylons and what Hyslop was writing about. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it on air. But she represents a people about whom Hyslop wrote. And on the other side of the coin, the other three are the corrupted Jewish people who throughout history have been doing things like Hollywood. But there is that holy remnant of Jews that I support and I stand beside. I stand beside Israel. I love the Jewish people. But we have to acknowledge it's a binary world. There's a good and an evil. There was a good Israel. That's through Judah. There was an evil Israel, and those 10 tribes have disappeared. There's a great America that came out of our patriots and our pilgrims, and there's a very evil America that we see revealed today through the Democrat Party and its leadership. Here's the final thing, that the point that I want to make, and I'm speaking lingus in Chico. Think about that, lingus in Chico here. The ancient Marcellian interpretation of the name Nancy, that's a feminized version of Napoleon, also in ancient Marcellian. The name Pelosi is ancient Marcellian for pig. So Nancy Pelosi henceforth will be referred to, because George Orwell did, as Pig Pelosi. The pig was the leader of the group of people that Orwell wrote about in Animal Farm. And she personifies Napoleon Pig. That's who I'm talking about, the chief character in Orwell's book. We see Animal Farm being replicated before our eyes. And George Orwell was a prophet, in my view, in talking about what's coming. Now, all this may sound like nonsense to people, but the bottom line is this. We live in a binary world. There's good and there's evil. There's bad America, and that's represented by the Democrats. And there's that holy remnant that's going to go forward and be raptured here fairly soon that's represented by those that are not Democrats.
Well, Marshall, before you go, let me ask you a question. That's where we're headed. Would you agree that what we're seeing now, the manifestation of evil and wickedness in Washington, would you agree that that is as a result of the past 30, 40, 50 years where the Bible, the Word of God, is not proclaimed in the pulpits, where Christians are not being fed, where members, church members, are not being fed the Scripture, and where you have easy believism, and as a result of that, we find men and women that's being sent to Washington that should represent moral America, that no longer represents moral America, but representing the power and the gridlock that we see as a result of that power grab in Washington. And so would you agree with me that the fundamental foundational problem is that we have absolutely abrogated our responsibilities as pastors, preachers, spiritual leaders in America today?
You know my answer to that, Pastor, and there's two parts. The first part is, and I've said it on air with you several times, the greatest need in America today is the evangelization of pastors, period. The tripe that's being put out from pulpits today and on television is unspeakable. It is not the gospel. It is the gospel of the corrupted America. And secondly, the greatest need, and I paid money to one of those stations that we're speaking on right now for several years to make an ad that challenged men to read the Word of God, because without exception, the greatest failure in America today is the failure of men in particular, the stewards of the planet. Men have failed to know the Word of God. That's why in the 19th century, most people failed to pick up the gospel, the dispensational gospel that's for fulfillment of Daniel 12:4. The book of Revelation began to be open, and the seals of Daniel began to be broken in that seminal century that's filled with both tremendous good and tremendous evil. But what came out of that century was a dispensational message. And if preachers preached it like you did, and if men read the Word of God and knew it like they're supposed to know, there would be no Nancy Pelosi's. There would be no corrupted Democrat Party. It would be more like the Jacksonian Party the Democrats founded many, many years ago. They were good people, but they have now become corrupt, just as Solomon's Israel, the line of Israel out of Solomon became corrupt and warred against Judah. Remember? I mean, they made war against each other, Israel always picking on Judah. So I've tried to talk about too big a picture in too short a time, so I apologize. But just take this point. Evil is upon us. We need strong pastors in the pulpit, and you and your church are among a very few in the city that are doing that. And secondly, men need to stand up and know the Word of God. And I think I'm grateful for this illness for the last 3 weeks, because I've just had time to sit around and think. And what I've said this morning, was some people may call it nonsense, is what I've come to. I live by it. I won't change from it. Jesus is coming back. The church will be raptured. And pretty soon we're going to see holy Israel return and lead people through a terrible time. But by God's grace, we're going to miss it, aren't we, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Enough said. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Let's Face the Issues. You're tuned in. This is Dr. Youngblood. And we're talking about today, with an elongated monologue getting to the point of where we wanted to go, Hollywood versus Jesus. But we had to talk about introductory things in relationship to current events taking place in Washington. And it's the wickedness that we see that is manifesting itself through the Satan demonic activities that is in Washington. But it's as a result, just as Marshall and I were just talking, as a result of the pulpits being vacuous and void and not having power and authority, preaching and teaching who Jesus Christ is. We've tried to humanize Jesus. As we celebrate this Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes are now attempting to destroy the name, the character, and the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems, ladies and gentlemen, that every Christmas season, we hear more and more voices that louder and louder challenge the validity and the reality, and the ultimate challenge is against Jesus Christ himself. The ultimate challenge is the destruction, the tearing down of the name of Jesus. It is laughable, ladies and gentlemen, to watch Nancy Pelosi in her feigned spirituality when she lies about praying for the president. But Hollywood continues its efforts, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an article that says, Netflix, I don't know if you've heard this or not. Perhaps you have, and perhaps this is redundant for you. Netflix, movie showing Jesus as a gay man, is now being slammed by a Texas bishop as blasphemy. The Catholic bishop in Tyler, Texas, joined the more than 1 million people denouncing Netflix after it released a satirical religious comedy depicting Jesus as a gay man. The film, titled The First Temptation of Christ, premiered on Netflix December 3rd and has since sparked a ton of controversy online for its satire that paints Jesus as a closeted homosexual homosexual on Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if anything could be any more despicable. Here's another article. It says, remove Netflix show depicting Jesus Christ as a homosexual. Netflix released a show by the name The First Temptation, where they mocked Jesus by making him out to be homosexual. Christians all around the world believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and died on the cross to save us from our sin. We love and respect our Lord very much. As any Christian knows, Jesus Christ is the only one to not be tempted into sin. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me digress from this article. According to the Word of God, Jesus Christ had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. But yet he's being depicted now in a blasphemous way as being a homosexual in that Netflix movie. This article continues. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we may have eternal life, salvation, as so of our sins may be washed away and forgiven. This Netflix series completely mocks the Bible. It mocks our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by painting him out to be something that was never, ever, ever, and shall never be. It seems like the world can get away with anything as long as it is against the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have to do this. We will not find this being done with Muhammad or Buddha or any other figure from any other religion. Why is it always Jesus Christ, this article says? Everyone has freedom of religion, and truthfully, this shouldn't be okay to do anyone's faith, not just Christianity, but for the sake of the argument, let's really consider the fact that this world finds no shame or no guilt in mocking Jesus Christ. This article further says, if I'm being very honest, I truly believe that this show was mocking any faith, it would be canceled immediately. In other words, if it was mocking Buddhism or Islam or any other ism, it would be canceled immediately. But because it's mocking Jesus Christ, it has not been canceled. This article says this isn't some light joke. It's mocking the Christian faith, rewriting the Bible, and corrupting the story of Jesus Christ. It goes completely against our belief, and it really spits on everyone's Christianity from every corner of the world. I believe in freedom of speech, but this is a full distasteful and distraction and an absolute attack on all Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is. And we're finding this every year. It intensifies with the war against Jesus Christ and against Christianity and against God and against the Bible. Now, Netflix is not the only one, but this is the highlighted one that I'm talking about. But we find, ladies and gentlemen, Christian caroling has been banned in many cities. Christmas lights are banned in some of the communities. Schools ban Christian cards, Christmas cards being given out by the students. Green and red trim in a classroom is no longer used. It's banned because they say it indicates Christmas. Cities ban the Christmas nativity scene. Even scripture verses are now banned on soldiers' dog tags. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I believe we need to understand. This article says, dump Netflix. Movie mocks Jesus Christ as most holy at the most holy time of the year. And again, it's redundancy in part, but let me read it. Netflix has released a Christmas special. Hear me, Christmas special. The movie that depicts Jesus Christ as a homosexual and the Virgin Mary as an adulteress. The film called The First Temptation of Christ has English subtitles and is available by subscription worldwide through Netflix. And there's a move, ladies and gentlemen, to have Netflix removed from your television set. There's a move to abandon Netflix as a source of watching anything. Another article on that says, move that mocks and twists and slanders Scripture, God, and Christianity. Anti-Christian films galore. Hey, Hollywood has always misrepresented Scripture, used bald-faced disrespect toward God and people of faith just to get delusional about anything Christianity and Christ-related. Always portraying Christians as a mean-spirited, arrogant, Bible-thumpers, and these films are full of it. And it's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood. Hollywood is antithetical to anything that's called Christianity or Christians. Hollywood is against God, against the Word of God, against the Bible, and anything that we stand for. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, somehow, some way, we fail to recognize that it is the focal point of Hollywood to tear down and destroy your faith, my faith, or the faith of the youngsters that sit before that television watching it. Here's an article that says, Hollywood is homosexual and pedophile to the very core. The first paragraph in this article says, Hollywood movies are saturated with demonic hints of pedophilia, jokes about incest, total nudity, sexual immorality and of every sort. It's all deliberately intended to plant demonic seeds. Satan is a spirit. The demons are spirits, fallen angels. Human beings are spirits living in a fleshly body. Everything that mankind produces that influences the human mind and spirit is a spiritual medium of communication. This is critically important to understand in order to grasp the dangers of watching Hollywood movies and listening to the demonic music that's in the world today, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, apartment managers claim that the feds are prohibiting Christian lights. A company managing federally subsidized apartments in Missouri has banned residents from putting up Christmas lights or any decorations. But the nonprofit litigation group Liberty Counsel has informed MACO, that's the management organization, that the ban violates federal laws. The management association banned Grandview Estates residents from their longstanding tradition of displaying Christmas or other religious holiday decorations, and they say it constitutes discrimination based on religion and violates their First Amendment rights and the Housing Act of the federal laws, said Liberty Counsel founder Matt Staver. Quote, nothing in the lease, in the lease agreement, or regulation supports such a ban as that. Residents were threatened with being thrown out of their communities. They were told any violation twice in 6 months would result in the termination of their leases. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the war on Christ, war against Christ, the war against Christmas, the war that's brought on by the socialist Marxist Democrats as a result of a failure from the pulpits across America to stand and proclaim the truth of the Word of God without fear and without favor. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the mantra and the stand for every Christian, that we're going to stand and speak what the Word of God says. Here's an article that says that Delaware bans the nativity scenes over safety concerns. And I won't read the article, but they simply say that they're afraid that parts of the nativity scene would blow out into the streets and could cause accidents and so forth and so on. So they banned it in the cities in Delaware. Here's an article that says, Army says faith-based groups can no longer put Bible verses on their dog tags after a complaint. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole problem is, the essence, the root bottom line, is the battle against Jesus Christ. And at the Christian Christmas season, we ought to recognize that even when Jesus Christ was born, there was found no room for him in the inn. No room for him in the inn. In fact, when you study the scripture in Luke's gospel, the second chapter, verses 6 and following, you'll find the scripture says, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, that is rags, rejects, leftovers, and laid him in a manger. When Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was birthed into this world, there was no recognition of who he was. No recognition. And not only no recognition, but ladies and gentlemen, there was no reception for Jesus Christ. Just as we find in the world today, it was no different then when Jesus Christ was born. There was no recognition of Jesus as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There was no reception, for there was no room for them in the end, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no room for Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That's the fundamental, foundational, crumbling part of the United States of America today, where there's no recognition and no reception of Jesus Christ. Multitudes around the globe and in America will celebrate Christmas in a drunken bash without realizing that we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. He is called God. He is called the Son of God. He is called the Lord. He is called the Holy One. He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Celebrate Christmas by putting Christ first in all that you do and say. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.